Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Sleepy Time edition of the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear.
And...
Shelby Sleepy because she... She went to the game.
I'm so tired from bearing down, guys.
She said that she forgot how emotionally exhausting games were. Meanwhile, Brielle went to the girls and men's game, and for the first time in 8 years, didn't throw up a fit when we said it's time to go to bed.
Nope. Well, anyway, Arizona men's basketball beat the Stanford Cardinal finally, and hopefully for the last time for a very long time, 82-71. And when I say I'm exhausted, it's because, like, this was a very emotionally draining game. I've been to a lot of Arizona games over the years. And I can say I have never been this tired. I mean, I just the amount of energy that the crowd needed to give at that game to really bolster the defense in particular. And, like, our section was just going crazy the whole time. It was awesome. Shout out to... Randy and Jackie again for our tickets, and also to Dawn for Aurora and Tina's tickets. So that was awesome.
Before we get started,
we do have an awesome message once again from our sponsor. Snow in Tucson. It sounds unpredictable, right? But we know the unexpected happens. It's important to be prepared and to have a plan, like where will your retirement money come from? Have you optimized your 401k? If you have questions about your current retirement plan or want to begin preparing for tomorrow, contact us at Longview Insurance and Investments. Visit our website at longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn more. And you talked to Andre at the game, too.
I did.
Yeah.
That game, it was funny. You texted me and you were upset. Aurora was texting me. She was upset. My dad was texting me. He was upset. And I said, baby, you're right. We got to worry about that. Because usually, it was Stanford, things are
you
different.
You never know.
But usually, the law of averages wins out in college basketball. Stanford comes out and looks like the Golden State Warriors. And people be like, oh, Arizona's not defending the perimeter. And on a couple of those, they weren't. But there was also one. One that really sticks out is, like, Michael Jones got a screen, didn't use it, took one step to the left, and over two bigs, shot the three, and drained it.
Yeah, like,
and
what, like, else is Arizona supposed to do?
Stanford's threes weren't even, like, hitting the rim. The only one that hit the rim, they were, like, 6 of 7 at one point. The only one that hit the rim was the only miss. Like, it was just stupid. And eventually you're like, my God, like, are they really going to do this on the road? And they did for the first half. They were stupid. They were 9 of 19 for 3, which was dumb.
Which was brutal.
To Arizona's credit, though, in the first half, Shelby.
There was a little back and forth.
It was 6 of 13. That one sequence where it was like 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. And it was like, what am I watching? This isn't...
This isn't college basketball anymore.
So it's hard to... I don't know, like, you have very different... My perspective is also, like, a lot of times with these games, you just throw your hands up and you're like, F it. But I get the vibe a lot of people weren't like that this time around in the first half.
I think it was frustrating because there were times when Balo literally just malfunctioned. Like, I mean, it was just crazy. Like, he normally doesn't do that. And, of course, we're turning the ball over for no reason. And it was just the expectation is so high, especially the way that Stanford won the last time, that any little mistake is amplified, I think. And I did tell people around me, just, you know, off chance when you're chatting with people around you, like, as long as they stay within about 10, like, you know, when the half ends, you know, channeling Jason Shear a little bit, I think that that's a deficit that they can come back from. Like, you know, this isn't something that we need to be 100% concerned about. We need to see how they come out the second half. Of course, Stanford came out and the law of averages applied, and they took a little bit of a nosedive.
And, you know, Maxime Raynaud and Michael Jones, Shelby, were 19 of 35, right? They were 14 of 18 in the first half. Okay, like, they were 5 of 17 in the second half. There were a few things. We'll discuss the overall picture and go individual like we do now. No questions. We're not on. Shelby's done
we
for.
We are vibing.
Shelby's done for. The dogs are asleep. The kids are asleep. I still got about an hour work.
We are doing this so late, too.
Before my computer blows up.
Because we went to Trident. All of us were starving because we didn't even eat. Nobody had had lunch since 1 o'clock, so we had to get
my parents had never been to Trident before.
I know. That was so weird.
Yeah. So the defense in the second half, we'll start with that. Look, it was good and bad at times in the first half. Some of it was throw your hands
it
up.
It was the best of times.
I thought in the second half, it was just considerably better all the way around.
Amazing.
Like, again, Michael Jones in the first half, 16 points, 6 of 8, 4 of 6 from 3, 1 of 5 from 3, 2 for 8 from the field with 5 points. We do have to credit Arizona with something the entire game that they did, which may be the most shocking thing. Going into the game, Spencer Jones was hitting 58% of his threes. Let me repeat that.
58.
And it wasn't like 2 for 3 or whatever. 58% of his threes against Tommy Lloyd's Arizona. He had 5 points on 2 of 9 shooting. Also, and maybe I don't pay close enough attention or whatever, Pella Larson was talking crazy.
Smack.
Yeah, crazy shit.
Like, well, they kept elbowing him in the face.
Like, in Spencer Jones's face. Then he would turn to Brandon Angel. And I don't know if Stanford was talking crap and I just didn't see it, but it was awesome. Then in the first half, Maxime Raynaud, 21 points, 8 of 10 shooting, 3 threes. In the second half, 8 points, 3 of 9 shooting. He had 2 threes, but one of them was at the buzzer in the shot clock. So he really had 5 points that counted. No one on Stanford scored in double figures in the entire second half. The game, when you look at the box score, is super strange because Stanford had a player with 29, a player with 21, Angel got 10, two of those threes were at the end, and then, like, no one else scored. Arizona, meanwhile, had 4 guys in double figures again.
And that's the way to do it.
And it was just, it's a very strange box score. I mean, Stanford went 9 of 32 in the second half, and what's funny is they were 5 of 14 from 3. So they were 4 of 18. My God, I'm so good at math. Oh, my God. 4 of 18 from 2. The biggest difference to me was going into this game, the preview, I mentioned that Stanford's not good defensively.
Nope.
There's multiple reasons, but I'm just going to put it out there. They're 5 white guys. Basically.
Boom.
Right? No, we're 4 white guys.
This is shocking news, Jason.
No, I think there's 4. But I'm not bringing race. They're just not athletic. They're not an athletic team. 25 minutes, maybe even 30. At one point, the light bulb switched on. And Arizona said, oh, shit. They can't guard us.
I'm thinking of that skit. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We can't repeat it, but, like, it's who's the actor? It's the guy that played in Iron Man, then he got replaced. And he was on that show on Fox. He got replaced by Don Cheadle.
Oh,
who is it?
The dude that's on the
this is how tired we are, worth it if you can watch that.
The guy that was crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Oh.
Why can't I think it's on the tip of my tongue?
Oh no, Shelby.
I'm sorry. Don Cheadle replaced him in the Iron Man.
Terrence Howard.
There it is.
There's the movie with Terrence Howard. You've probably seen the skit where he, sounds racist. It's not racist because it's in a movie, but it's that horrible movie. It's a really bad movie. It's, there's a skit anyway. He's talking like to his team.
He's a coach.
And they're all black and it's, they're facing an all white, like Indiana team. And he gives them like a pep talk and he's like, "You're black. They're white. That's my whole speech. That's it." And then like it gets really graphic, like what they should do to them. And then they
go and they win.
They go in the skit and it like you're seeing them and all of a sudden and then all of a sudden the white guys score and they're going nuts and it like zooms out and it's like 180-2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. See, that's the comparison. It was so worth it to get to that moment, wasn't it?
What movie is that? Movie 43. Movie 43. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But somehow they got a bunch of famous
it's
people.
So obscure. And they got a bunch hilarious. Of
like super famous people at the time. Like who's Wolverine? Wasn't he in one of those?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, and it's like, what is Hugh Jackman doing in this?
He's to be fair, Hugh Jackman's done some really bad stuff, but you know.
It was one of the worst movies I've ever on Rotten Tomatoes. It is 4%. I just looked it up. I'm dead serious. On Rotten Tomatoes, it is 4%, and the audience score is 24%. But I remember it. Yeah, it has Elizabeth Banks, Kirsten Bell, Halle Berry, Gerard Butler, Terrence Howard. It's one of the worst, grotesque movies I've ever seen.
However, anyway, that one that skit particular skit or moment in the movie is just gold.
And like, it's one of those things where like you feel awkward laughing at it, but then you look around you and everyone's laughing at it, so you can laugh at it. Anyway, back to the... Hopefully we're not
back canceled. To our regularly scheduled
hopefully we're not
program.
Canceled. yeah, and then magically Arizona's like, oh yeah, they can't guard us. And after only going to the line 2 times in the entire first
that
half,
was insane.
They went to the line 16 times in the second half and made 14.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS, here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, they got here.
Walking to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central. On CBS. And streaming on Paramount+.
Oh, 16. Shout out to my boo, Umar Balo.
To be fair, in the first half in particular, but throughout the game... That was the strangest ref game in that they let them play. Like, normally, they have the whistle in their mouth, and you touch someone barely, and they're calling a foul on you. And this one, they're literally bodying each other, and they weren't calling the fouls.
So, first of all, let's talk about that for a minute. This, on paper, is literally, if you go to Ken Palm, they rate refs. This is literally one of the best crews that I've ever been in McHale history. Like, it is 3 top 10 refs. So, Brian pointed this out. John Higgins... most people know who John Higgins is, famous. He's the coordinator of officials. He was at the game. So you have a really good crew and you have him. I don't mind the refs today because while they let them play, they consistently let them play. Even in the second half, for the most part. Now, Was there a bad call? Yeah, you're not going to get perfect.
I wasn't mad at the calls that they made. I was mad at the calls that they didn't make.
But at least, but I don't care because they're consistently not making them.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think there was anything that was egregious. Like, I didn't go, like, oh my God. There were a couple plays, but like, there is even a play where, like, Pella drew a blocking foul when it was a very clear flop, like a super flop. You know what play I'm talking about?
Yes.
And like, they showed the replay and people were like booing, and then they showed the replay. They're like, I get it. But yeah.
I got to tell my joke now. Or not really my joke, but like, the guys next to me were like counting every time Pella was on the floor, and we were joking about it. It was like, I love Pella, but he's like a wrecking ball. And they said that they just call him, what is it?
It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Pella's.
Weekend at Pella's.
Because he's been dead for 2 years.
Someone made an awesome graphic.
If you look on my Twitter, I tweeted it, and then someone made a really great graphic about it. It was, I love Pella. Like, I don't know if he goes and he just sleeps in an ice chamber all week.
Yeah, I said he should have an NIL with, like, crypto spot.
I just, like, at some point, what makes me nervous is he does that and, like, when he doesn't get up, so.
I think overall, too, we're talking about strategy and all that before we get into individual players. It was very apparent tonight that the Magic lineup against a guard-oriented team that is hitting threes is when you go three guard and you go small. Now, you were fine with Umar. Pella was at the four instead of Keyshawn. I would even try line up with Keyshawn at the five. He just, tonight wasn't his night.
He was off tonight.
But the Jaden Bradley, KJ Lewis, Caleb Love backcourt changed the entire game. I don't like plus minus unless it helps my cause, as I've always said. But, I mean, look, when you look at the plus minus and Jaden Bradley is plus 17 and KJ Lewis is plus 19 and the only other guy that's closest is 11 at Caleb, like, that's something. Like, it's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that Boswell is minus six or Keyshawn was minus two. Like, those were the two worst players on the court today. But that Bradley-Lewis lineup changed the entire game. I don't think there's any question. And I know that the controversy now is, why not start this guy? Why not start that guy? I don't care who starts. It was who finished.
Who finishes.
Right? And, like, tonight, Boswell didn't finish. Jaden Bradley, KJ Lewis, those guys finished. So, to me, I'm watching it and I'm like, I don't care that they didn't start. They, you know, you look at the minutes played. Keyshawn played 5 minutes in the second half. He had 18 minutes total. Bradley played 20 minutes. Boswell played 21. But you look in the second half, Shelby, and Boswell played 9, and Bradley played 11, but KJ Lewis had 15, right?
Right.
And so to me, it's like, I don't care who starts. I think that's always overblown, and coaches will say the same thing.
Right.
Unless you're every game getting out and, like, you're just getting killed every game to start, then maybe you worry about the starting lineup, but you're not. Like, Arizona generally starts pretty well. And then at the end, when you're holding Stanford and you're doing whatever you want on offense, like, that was the lineup. That's the lineup. In the NCAA tournament,
yep, that's your saving,
that's going to be the saving lineup. The Bradley, Lewis, Love, Pella, Keyshawn, Throwin, Umar, that's the lineup. Those six guys on the court at once, to me, that's the one. That's, you know.
And I do think it, you know, I agree with you, it's overrated. Kylan can go out and start. It's who comes off the bench and, like, can spark people. And, like, we know that KJ does that. Keyshawn is capable of doing that. But definitely Jaden and KJ together are the spark plug that can get Arizona over the finish line. And that's going to happen every time. So it doesn't really matter this year that Jaden doesn't start. He hasn't earned his stripes yet, necessarily.
And I don't even care.
And who cares?
If he's going to play 20 minutes, or if in a next week on the road he plays 25 and Boswell plays 20, I don't care. It's Tommy Lloyd took Boswell out of the situation where he came in, he turned the ball over, they didn't run the fast break. And Tommy said something interesting at the game.
Yeah.
He said basically the fast break efficiency numbers were not good this year. Certainly not as good as they've been in the past. And they've been working more on that. And Kylan came in and had some dog shit passes and he came out. And people say, oh, Tommy doesn't hold you accountable. Tommy doesn't hold these guys accountable. Tommy held Kylan accountable on that play. It was very clear that Tommy said, this is not working. And there were a couple plays where Tommy tonight, maybe more so than any other game this season, had quick hooks when a guy screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's also the smart play and, like, seeing how the play develops as you're doing a fast break. Like, why are we throwing into, like, four defenders around one person?
Yeah, I mean, there was one play, like, it was one where, like, Boswell tried to hit a cutter, but there was no cutter. And even if you hit the cutter, he would have collided with Renaud. It just...
There, yeah. So I get it. I totally agree with you. I think that that lineup, you could see the sweet spot work.
And it's weird because we'll just talk about Jaden Bradley individually. Like, if I showed you his stat line, Shelby, he had 5 points on 5 shots. He was 1 for 5. 3 rebounds, 2 assists. That's not that good.
That's not great on paper.
But his defense, in the way that the offense tends to move and operates, it's just like, it's weird.
He's a spark.
Because he's not shooting well this season either. But it's not like, you look at him and it's different. And yeah, to me, that was very clearly play the passing lanes, all that. And he didn't even have a steal. But, you know, his defense to me, him and KJ, changed the game.
I concur.
So let's jump in individually
and get you to bed. Senor Love, as usual.
Really weird game from
very
him.
Very odd for him.
Because he was 5 of 16, and that would tell you he was 3 for 10 in the second half, 2 for 6 in the first, so pretty even. That would tell you that he didn't play well. The reason I say it's strange, Shelby, is because he did not shoot well, and his shot selection was bad. About as bad as it's been all season.
It was.
But then you look and he has 8 rebounds and 7 assists and 2 steals. And you're like,
I mean, he played his guts out.
He pretty much played 40 minutes.
He played almost the whole game.
So it's like, I can live with his 5 of 16 shooting because when he gets 8 rebounds and 7 assists.
Caleb Love experience.
But like, there are a couple threes where it's like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. And that's one thing I really hope, Tommy, I know that that's something that they've been working on.
Yeah, he said multiple times.
Consistently with him is just take a deep breath, look around you.
Get comfortable. You
don't need to put up desperation threes. So if they can get him to tamp that down even 25% before the tournament, that would be very helpful. Because occasionally he has these flashes of brilliance where he can see the floor and he'll make the unselfish play. He can do it. It's just not in his nature. He's a lone wolf.
I think he's a much better passer than people think.
I think he is a great passer.
He shoots so much. It's just that like there's shots where it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So, moving on to
my boy Pella,
my pesky Pella.
He was fantastic. You know, the play. It was funny.
Started off slow.
The board was even cracking up. The play where he drove the middle of the lane and dunked it. Like Pella could do that.
Dude, someone leaned over to me and was like, "Pella's got that dog in him." Like it was just like crazy.
That was a Pella that like there's no and we've said it before.
I want that Pella.
Like, calm down, Shelby. We've said it before. Like. When he's aggressive, like, he's really, really good. The problem is that we saw him tonight, and then for all we know, next Thursday, he's going to be, like, lackadaisical.
Well, and he started off lackadaisical. Right. I even texted you and said, oh, shit, Pella's unfocused today.
And I love, like...
The first 5 minutes of the game, obviously the first half was just... I think it was everyone being discombobulated with Stanford doing all those threes. But he was unfocused. He had a turnover at one point, just sloppy. And then he just literally
before you know, Pella's talking shit to people, dunking on people. When he
it's
plays like
street
that,
street ball.
Arizona is significantly better.
So, you know, kudos to Pella.
We kind of touched on this before. This was a step back for Kylan.
He had two steps forward.
This was a step back. There's no sugarcoating it. He was bad. He was just flat out bad. Didn't run the offense well. Didn't defend well. Didn't shoot well. I'm not going to sit here and kill the kid. This was a major step back for him. But again, like, it's a broken record. They need him in order to win. They need him at his best. And Tommy Lloyd isn't going to give up on him. But tonight was rough.
I will say, obviously, he did have 6 points, which is an improvement off of that really bad game he had, which was 0.
And he hit the 3 early.
I mean, I'm not going to complain about that. There was production. It just is not what we want to see trending up towards March.
I think the thing that surprises me the most about Boswell is I thought he would be significantly better as a defender. If you heard that, I just broke my ankle, I think. Significantly better.
There's a table there, Hemi.
That really hurt. Significantly better defensively. Like, I always say, like, if you're not going to... Like, Jaden Bradley isn't great offensively, but defensively, he's a monster. So you're gonna trend towards playing him. Like, if Kylan Boswell was better defensively, he would have played more than 21 minutes today. He wasn't.
No, he wasn't it. However, someone else who was it...
I want to have a little rant here.
Okay.
This is very similar to what we do with Pella. And Arizona fans, and honestly, I think every fan base does it probably. But Arizona fans, because I'm on the Arizona boards, community, whatever, will pick a player and make him the whipping boy. Right or wrong. Last year...
My sweet boy.
Last year, it was Kirk Risa. Right or wrong? Mm. No, just right or wrong, right?
Yeah.
This season, in the beginning, it was Pella. And still, sometimes, it is Pella. But lately, it's been Umar. Now, Umar had, like, one play, and then the message board was like, oh, this guy sucks. And Twitter's like, this guy's dog shit. And Reynaud absolutely played well, and he had difficulty guarding him. Ballo absolutely. Reynaud is a tough matchup. Guys that step out, centers that step out and shoot, are always going to be tough matchups for Umar. They just are. Umar's going to do better against the power kind of centers, like the Eddie Lampkin types that he'll see this week. Even on Utah, he'll be fine, right? Then all of a sudden tonight, he says, you know what? In the second half, I'm going to completely take over this game. 10 points and 10 rebounds in the second half alone in 14 minutes. He was very clearly at one point, I mean, the lobs, the rebounding.
Oh, so
he,
good.
He was, for a large chunk of the game, the best player on the court. He really was.
In the building.
The free throws are an experience. But
yeah,
that's an experience that isn't changing. It's not. And Tommy Lloyd clearly trusts Umar. He got 29 minutes, third most on the team. And he was, and look, his defense improved too in the second half. I thought he did a significantly better job running out on Reynaud as opposed to in the first half where he kind of was like, oh, go for it. But then again, you got to realize like Maxime Reynaud doesn't make threes. He only makes threes against Arizona.
Right.
He's like 8 for 27.
Everyone seems to just make threes against Arizona.
You know, Umar was fantastic.
Congratulations.
Moving on, we killed Boswell. Keyshawn was terrible as well.
Yep.
Keyshawn, no points.
No sugarcoating.
No blocks. No steals. I know he got hurt, but Tommy Lloyd said after the game that the injury had nothing to do with the second half minutes. It was just a lineup was working. Keyshawn wasn't in it, and he said Keyshawn handled it well. The biggest thing to me is 3 rebounds in 18 minutes isn't good enough. It's just not. Like, Arizona
needs him.
Needs Keyshawn Johnson to be better. He has not played well most of the time. I know he played well last game, but he has not played well the last few weeks, and that is an issue.
Consistency is not there.
KJ Lewis, we talked about him. This dude is awesome. I can't say enough good things about him.
Superstar.
I felt he changed the game. And then lastly, Krivas, 6 points, 5 rebounds. We talked about Jaden Bradley.
I'm just saying, you skipped over.
Don't you ever aggressively point at me again.
I didn't aggressively.
Krivas is going to be a 40-point-per-game scorer when he learns how to just touch the ball and go up with it.
Yeah, just literally put it in the goddamn basket, Krivas.
He collects himself. He likes to dribble. He'll take a couple steps. If he learns how to get the ball and go up with it.
In basket.
He's going to be awesome. But that's the concern. But look, like, overall, Shell, the first half was exhausting. People gave up. The game thread, once again, was awesome.
I didn't give up. I was screaming the whole time.
You said, quote, you made me come to this game. I'll divorce you if we lose.
I did not say that.
Aurora said, you're no longer my father.
Aurora was just, like, on TikTok the whole time, apparently, according to your mother.
Word is Erica, my girl Erica, taught Brielle the ref's name, so Brielle was yelling at the refs by name. At the girls' game, which is actually one of the greatest. I'm such a proud father. But look, this is a big win.
It's a big win.
It is a very big road trip coming up. I am of the mentality that a split would be a victory.
I said that at dinner. I said, I think they're going to beat Utah. Are they going to beat Colorado? Probably lose Utah.
Utah and Colorado are a combined 24-0 at home this year.
I know.
So.
But the good news is Arizona.
Full game in first place now.
True grit. Gritted this one out. That's my, everyone who listens to this podcast knows that is one of my,
grituted,
I guess, benchmarks for a championship caliber team is what kind of grit do they have? We know that Gonzaga is falling apart right now. And there's theories as to why, because obviously Tommy's not there anymore. But
don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, because they just have fallen apart. Like, we've been watching them and they don't have the grit.
Shelby watched some Gonzaga. We talked to some coaches not affiliated with Arizona. Shelby hears all the phone calls. She's in the streets.
I hear all the phone calls that are interesting. But the point was, before you interrupted me,
I know you're on fire.
True
right
grit.
Now.
Arizona had it tonight. They were able to win. And we're all going to.
Full game up.
Going to hopefully. I can't even talk
hopefully.
Anymore.
Yes.
Hopefully. See a win on Thursday, because it's going to be a tough road trip coming up.
Your tough road trip coming up.
You know. But until that time, do you want to see it?
No matter where you are, who you've killed, what team you root for, who's in bed with you.
Or what you do.
Or what you do. Always.
Bear down.
And just so people know, I know Shelby tweeted it, she did not have a White Claw 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. That is embarrassing.
I didn't. I had a Moscow Mule, guys.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.